Hey, y'all are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast.
Please welcome your host for tonight's podcast.
Yeah, I don't even know what to say to that. You are listening to the Overseas Connection podcast, the official podcast of the G4TE.com community. This is episode 372. It is May 28th, 2016. E3 is just around the corner. It's kind of like Christmas. And I'm just one of your humble hosts today, Greg DeLacy, OC underscore Murphy's Law on Twitter. Murphy's Law on the old Xbox Live, and someday when I get my PS4, it'll be Murphy's Law 1969. In the meantime, let's talk to other people in this room. I'm going to start from my right to my left. We have the wonderful, sassy, newly crowned dog owner, Nicole Radowski.
No, I had a dog. I just have another.
I didn't think that was your dog for some reason.
It's a long story. Oh. But the dog, there's shared custody of the dog as well as the children.
Noted. All right. Well, newly crowned 100% dog owner.
It is all mine. That little ball of fluff is all mine, and yes. Probably going to bite my toes here soon.
Nicole, why don't we give us your particulars? Not anything. Ooh. Private, but like your Twitter, gamer tags, things like that. Things that you want people to actually know about you.
You don't want breast cup size? No. I just tease it. I'm totally just
seriously. Totally optional.
Yeah. No. Twitter is OC underscore Amaryllis. And I might have to think about it because it's usually in the show notes. And then it's Amaranth on Xbox and Amaryllis on the PS4 and Amaryllis on the Steams. I don't play Steam very much. I don't use the Steam thing at all, hardly.
Yes. I do the Steams once in a while. It is my XCOM binge, but not for long. Mark Canix, Mark Wright, also Hello. On the show.
Hello, Greg. Hello, everyone. Mark Alex on Xbox Live, PSN, Steam, and Twitter. Hope everyone's doing fine.
I think we're doing fantastic. Mark, real quickly, you are drinking something that looked dark and a little bit frothy, but I don't think it's what I think it is.
No, it's Pepsi Max. I don't really drink alcohol. I only do alcohol on holidays and Christmas.
Well, Mark, it is Memorial Day this weekend, so celebrate with the United States and pour yourself a Guinness.
There you go.
A fine American beer. No, doing well, Mark. Thank you very much, and thank you for making the show.
No problem.
And thank you for working on that fantastic intro that left me speechless.
I can't take any of the credit because I was sent all the bits and bats from my fellow podcasters. I just put them all together.
It was a collaboration effort.
Yes, absolutely.
It's good. Yeah. It's good. All right. And finally, a very new face to the podcast. I want to say a really kind of new to the podcast scene overall, because, he broke his cherry really just, about a week and a half ago? So we have Mr. Pilch Reed on the podcast. You know him as at Pilch Reed on the old Twitters.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir. So you have an upcoming podcast that's in the works, right?
We'll
talk about that a little bit here. We're going to give you a little your credits here. The title of the podcast, Pilchards and Cream.
Yeah, that's right.
So I know who the Pilchards part is. Do I want to ask about the cream part?
The cream is the cream of the crop from the podcast world.
Okay.
So the idea is I'll be the host and I'll have a guest from other gaming podcasts each week just to chew the fat, talk about games, life, etc. Okay. So expect an invite at some stage from you lot.
I will pay you handsomely for that later. That's exciting. I'm looking forward to that. I think that should be a fun show. We know you just literally started podcasting. I mean, really kind of getting your voice out there. You were on the Boss Wave podcast not too long ago. Want to give some props to that episode. I think you were talking about cats and animal sex, if I remember correctly. I don't know. It's a little vague to me.
Yeah, chicken action, I think, as well. Might have been.
Chicken action. All right. Okay. All right. You're being too quiet here, Pilch. I think you're trying to, you know, tame the inner podcast in you, but let it go, man. Let it go. Feel free to talk away. We only bite a little bit.
I'll just carry on talking over you then, shall I?
That's what everybody else does. I don't see why it should be any different for you.
Yeah, we do it all the time.
All right. Well, we are a video game podcast. That's what we do. We talk about video games. We talk about life, too. We talk about things going on outside of video games. But primarily, the whole reason for this gathering is video games. And, of course, we podcast every Saturday to the dismay of probably all of our families. Right around 3 p.m. U.S., West Coast, 6 p.m. East Coast, and unfortunately for you in the UK, 11 p.m. out on the UK. But you know, we could always start a lot earlier if you want, and you know, we do breakfast.
You tell me.
I now that we're on Saturdays, my wife is all for it. Why don't you podcast at 5 o'clock in the morning? And I'm like, that seems a bit early, but it'd be perfect for you. So you know, hey, who knows? But that's the lowdown. So if you want to listen to us live and watch the podcast, we're on Twitch. Just go to your website browser, whatever browser you're using. Maybe it's Safari, maybe it's Chrome. Nobody uses Internet Explorer, but just go and type in live.g4te.com. That will magically transport you right to our Twitch page, and you can see us podcast, and you can see back podcast, because all of the highlight shows are actually our previous episodes. So you can do that, or you can go to our YouTube channel, where eventually we get around to publishing our podcast out to YouTube. And then, of course, if you're maybe, just to steal a term from the DLC podcast, a Geeks and Sneaks, where you're at the gym, you want to listen to something, we are on iTunes, we're on Stitcher, so you can download the podcast and listen to it through your audio device of choice. I think I've covered everything I can possibly cover. Interesting topic you guys, I think, covered last week. Favorite game through the halfway point.
Yeah.
And so I thought maybe, Pilch, you and I could weigh in on this. Is there a standout game for you so far in 2016, halfway through?
I don't think I've played one new game yet this year. I've got a huge pile of shame that I'm trying to work through. Been enjoying the last few Games with Gold games.
Right.
So generally, I haven't really played a lot of new stuff, to be honest. So, no, I can't help you there.
Okay, well, that was Pilch Reed on the podcast, everybody. Thank you. No, that's totally – I get it. I'm actually going through Pile of Shame games right now myself. So I cannot say that first half of 2016, Wolfenstein is my favorite game, because that would be disingenuous to this notion.
It is a good game.
It is a really damn good game. No, I would have to say The Division, I think, has been my favorite game so far, first half of 2016. I don't think 2016 so far for me has been super strong. I enjoyed Quantum Break. I'm trying to think, Division. But The Division to me stood out from a standpoint of it just had some of those checkmark boxes that I like, the loot, the upgrade systems, loot gathering, the leveling up, and it has a nice persistent world. Plus, it's a beautiful game. So, for me, I think that is probably my standout for the first half. But it has been a bit of a slow first half.
Have you been on The Division lately, Greg? There's another update this week. There's another version.
Yeah, I'm a little afraid of that. I mean, well, I guess we can segue right into what we've been playing. But let's talk about this upgrade role, or this update. So it's introducing a new area, new incursion area. I mean, kind of, some tweaks and fixes, but the new mechanic that has me, I don't know, worried, if you will, is this notion of hijacking in the Dark Zone. So the way the Dark Zone works, for those that don't know, in the Division, you go through and you get loot off fallen enemies. And you can steal loot from other players. If you kill them, they drop their loot. But it's only loot they've recovered in the Dark Zone. So, you know, you can go into the Dark Zone with all of your gear and not fear whatever you're coming in with you're going to lose. But anything you recover in the Dark Zone, you could potentially lose if you die. So there is that tension there. And, of course, you can go player versus player in an instance and try and steal somebody else's loot that they recently got. But there's extraction points in the game, and when you recover loot, if you go to an extraction point, you call in a helicopter, basically. They lower a rope down. You attach your loot to the rope, and once you attach your loot to the rope, you're good to go. You can leave the scene. Your loot is safe, and there's tension all the way up into that because, you know, just getting the loot onto the rope, you know, part of that, you know, you never know if somebody's going to turn on you. So I feel like there's enough tension. And now they've added this element that somebody can come in and literally after everybody has attached their loot to the extraction rope, they basically can come in and cut the rope. And all the rope or all the loot from everybody that's attached falls to the ground and becomes potentially open season. So my big fear is this is going to make the Dark Zone even more unfriendly to single player. Because you can go in and play the Dark Zone by yourself. It's not easy. It's not recommended either, because typically speaking, you come across another group. They're likely going to kill you. But in this instance, in the way the Dark Zone currently is, often as a single player, you could still meet up with some other people and kind of party together loosely. Maybe find another solo player. You party up together, and you go and protect the loot and get it out of there. Now,
how do you know they're not going to nick your stuff as well?
You don't. But right, I think this added element, this is just one more thing to potentially add to that possible nicking of loot, as you put it.
Yeah, because like you said, as before, once that loot is on that rope, you're not bothered if you die or anything because you know that loot is safe, but not anymore.
Right. Now you have to protect it all the way through, all the way up, and if there's a large enough group there, basically they wait for you to attach your stuff onto the rope. One guy goes to cut the rope, and the other three are basically engaging you to keep you pinned down so you can't even protect the rope in a kind of best-case scenario. The worst-case scenario is you're just going to get basically killed by four people. They're going to turn around and cut the rope, and you lose all the loot that you just attached. Mm. So, yeah. Real excited for that.
There's some good single player stuff being added.
Yes.
There's some intel missions what I've been doing. I've been playing a little bit the past couple of days. First time I've been on it for a long time. And you can earn Phoenix credits. You only get 10, but they're quite simple, straightforward intel missions, but they're quite interesting.
Yeah. And Phoenix credits, just like what, 30 plus level?
Yeah,
kind of missions.
Yeah, end game level where you buy your high end gear, the yellow gold gear, and the intel missions. You actually get a piece of high end gear, weapon or armor for completing them as well. So double bonus.
Okay,
is this game worth if you haven't got it? Is it worth getting it now? Is it too late? Have you missed the boat, sort of thing? I know a lot of it is single player. But is it worth getting it now? If it come out for 20 quid or something?
If it came out for 20 quid, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I think so. Because the single player, you know, what's great about the single player is you can actually play that co-op. But it is player versus environment. The Dark Zone really is the only area where it's going to be player versus player, potentially. The Dark Zone still is player versus environment as well. And the game does try to match you into zones, so it will try and keep you from playing against players that are too high a level. So I think, and I could be wrong on this, Marky, I mean, you might be a better authority on this, but I mean, from that standpoint, you're not, as a single player, going to be going into the Dark Zone and encountering, if you're only level 15, you're not going to be encountering level 30 players.
No. Even level 30 players now, there's separate, there's separate sort of like tiers for level 30 players. It works on your gear score. So up to, I think it's 180. If you've got less than 180 gear score, you won't even match up with us with all the best gear because they're even higher. So they'll only get matched with people with the highest gear score. So they're trying to make it as evenly matched as possible.
Yeah. So I would say absolutely. If you can get it on the cheaper side through a sale or you know even a used copy for that fact, it is worth picking up. It's a good game.
Yeah, there's a lot of hours of enjoyment in the single player mm-hmm. alone. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep, absolutely. Real quickly, Mark, maybe give a shout out to the Twitch. I don't know if we have anybody in the Twitch room that's watching outside of our own peeps. Obviously,
We had PGTip77 popping a little bit ago. We've got Viva La Pedros from True Skill Games guys, who we're going to be battling very soon.
Please recorrect that. We're going to be kicking their asses.
I'm not saying that because I don't want to have egg on my face when we get whooped.
Yeah, we're going to lose our shirts, but that's beside the point.
And we've got Rain God Zippo in the chat.
Okay, excellent. Well, thank you all for jumping in. Well, being that Pilch, you are our guest, let's talk about a little bit of what you have been playing. I know it's been a little bit of the back catalog, but let's dive into a couple games. Talk to us.
Well, I've actually played one thing that came out this year, Rocket League.
Okay.
Technically this year for Xbox One owners.
Okay. Are you a big Rocket League player?
Not really.
All right. I was going to say, you're now part of our podcast team, so we could recruit you. If you were a ringer,
I've played a lot. The reason I've played a lot is because there's an achievement that won't unlock for me. And I've done it and done it and done it and done it and done it some more, and it still won't unlock.
Which achievement would this be?
You've got to play every team in it. If you do a league, you've got to play every team in that league. And I've won the championship. I've gone on and won the cup. I've done it a million times with different teams, different scenarios, full 18 teams, 9 teams, you name it. I've done it, and it will not pop. So that's the only one I need to get.
Now, is this like a known issue?
They just come over from the PS4. It was a problem on that, and it's a problem on this. My brother's also done the same, and he can't get it either.
Okay.
But there's loads of people on my friend list who have done it. Some people said it popped straight away. Some people said it popped a few days later, but I've been trying to do it since February, and it will not come.
Where YouTube becomes your friend. And you do a search on YouTube. I guarantee somebody's done a video on how to make it pop.
Mm. Throw it out the window. I think it's probably the one.
I realized what I said there, Nicole. I saw the smirk.
No, that's not the first time, actually. There's quite a few achievements that just don't pop on mine, even through 360.
Right.
Yeah, just there's so many that I just can't get. I don't know why. Perhaps it's just me. But,
I like my achievements, but I don't like obsess. I'm not one of those. I need 1,000 gamer score on a game. Clearly, if you look at my gamer history, you will understand that is not the case.
I used to be, but I think I've got just past that now. I'm not so bothered anymore.
Yeah,
so it's nice to get them, and it's rewarding.
Yeah, when they pop, it's nice. Yeah,
yeah. But yeah, it's more frustrating when it should pop and it doesn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't mind not getting one if I haven't bothered to do it.
Right.
But, not getting it when you have spent hours and hours and hours trying to get it is a bit annoying.
So you haven't done a Duke's Gath then, have you? You have found the double jump button.
Yes, I did the tutorial, so I know how to play.
Did you hear about
that,
Greg?
It's a crack in everyone.
No.
Poor old Duke, he's been playing Rocket League on PC for ages now, and he didn't realise that once you've jumped, you can jump again with your boost. So he's now finally found that out, and he's having a whole new Rocket League experience now.
It does add to the Rocket League experience. Yeah. Yeah. He's a special individual. No, I love Duke to death. So, yeah. Pilch, what else? What else can we talk about?
We can talk about. Oh, what have we got? Oh, Minecraft Wii U.
We cannot talk about Minecraft with you.
It's got Mario in it.
I
what?
Mario. It's a whole skin, Mario skin, Mario world. Little Goombas and Yoshi and the whole lot.
Yeah. You know, I didn't think about that, but it kind of makes sense. Yeah, I mean,
there's a Halo one in there.
It's literally like playing... Yeah, but it's like something else. Yeah. Halo's just sort of makes it look a bit like Halo, whereas this is... You're playing Mario in Minecraft.
Right.
It is brilliant. And all the music, all everything is...
Okay, all right.
It's a bit sad, but... I love it. It's really good.
It's okay. If I had known we had a Nintendo person coming on the podcast, I wouldn't have invited you. No, I'm kidding. I know. I get all this, like, I hate Nintendo stuff. I don't really hate Nintendo. I think that is a brilliant move. Hopefully, it does well on the Wii U. I'm curious about, I guess there's a battle mode coming out on Minecraft. I saw some news on that.
Yeah, I've heard that, yeah.
Don't quite know what that is. I mean, is it just like some kind of PvP thing that they're setting up?
It might be. I know on PC there's a lot of people sort of like run their own servers and they have like what we call Hunger Games scenarios.
Okay.
So last man standing sort of thing. So yeah, it might be interesting.
I wish I could get into Minecraft. I do. I bought the game, thanks Dorian, and I just can't play it. I just don't get into it. I don't know why.
I can't play it, but...
Fair enough. Yeah, I can't make anything, and I can dig a hole. That's my expertise.
Yeah. My kids, they watch me playing it, and they just take the controller off me. Oh, I'll do it for you, Dad. Off they go. The things they build is ridiculous. I'm just too old for all that. You got to be, dexterous, ain't you, with all them things. Yeah. I end up building something and then knocking it down again.
Nicole, you're just sitting there like saying nothing. Nicole is like a Minecraft wizard, apparently.
I love Minecraft. It is tons of fun. But you have to give me props for being a creative type person. So, I mean...
Do I have to give you props?
Yes.
Okay.
You're my brother from another mother. Of course you do.
True.
I am a creative person, so I do like it for that aspect. My children did have to show me a few things, but now I'm building better and different buildings than they are, and they're like, oh, how did you do that? So it takes a little finessing.
And they're constantly updating it as well. There's been a recent update, and now there's loads and loads of different types of blocks now you can get, and plants and stuff, so... There's a lot of
they do make it more fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of new stuff in there.
There's bunnies.
There's bunnies.
They have bunnies. Okay. And you can kill them and have bunny meat.
Game of the year. All right. So Minecraft Wii U. Anything else you want to talk about?
Max Curse of the Brotherhood. Started playing that this week.
Fantastic game.
That's beautiful. I've had it on my hard drive for 2 years. It's just been sitting there. I finally thought I'll give it a go. Oh, it is really good. I would have got victories achieved if I hadn't come on here tonight. But so I've nearly finished it.
Yeah.
But it's beautiful. It's really just the mechanics of it. I can't fault it. It's just stunning.
Yeah, you know, it was a game that really didn't get, I think, the due it should have. It's not the most innovative game in the world comparative, you know, to other platformers out there. I think it does a lot of kind of similar things that other games have done before. But, I mean, overall, it was just a really sound game, end to end. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I remember playing through it. I think I got through it in like 2 weeks or so, just kind of like constantly playing it. I felt like it had just enough challenge to it, but not overly challenging. Although there was one boss battle, as I think back now, where it felt a little punitive, a lot of restart, start over. But I don't know. That game was fun. I really enjoyed it.
I think the only annoying bits are the sort of quick times where you're it's like an endless runner type sections. And when you get to the end of it, everything slows down and you've got to find draw the right vine or bits. And sometimes I do that like 20 times.
Yeah.
I think I might actually possibly have cheated once and looked on YouTube to see what I was supposed to be drawing because it was getting annoying. But apart from that, brilliant.
Yeah, Yeah, I know for a fact I did look on YouTube for one particular puzzle. I could not figure it out for the life of me. And then when I figured it out or by watching the YouTube channel, I was like, I could have figured that out. But, oh well. That is a fantastic game. So congratulations on almost finishing it, because I think everybody should play that game. It's one of those hidden gems. Mm. All right. Well, anything else you want to cover, or should we move along?
You can move along.
Oh, well, thank you for that permission, sir. Nicole, why don't we move along right over to your side of the pond?
Okay, my side of the pond.
Well, he is on the other side of the pond.
I know.
And one of your games is one of your games is water related.
Yes, Subnautica. I played more of that.
And
is this like a Minecraft underwater? Then,
it's not squares. Right. It's not pixel looking. No, it's like.
But is it a building game thing?
You can dive around and swim around and do things. You don't have to build. You could just stay in that stupid little pod for the rest of your life if you wanted. It's just no fun to stay in that stupid little pod.
What is like the end game? Is there an end game? Is it just surviving underwater?
It's surviving underwater. You have to be able... You build radiation suits so that you can go near the major... it's a spacecraft that crashed and you're like the survivor.
Okay.
You're it. And it's...
You're not selling it to us.
Well, that's because I don't stand on street corners, so...
Oh.
But you're like this little lone survivor. You're floating around. You wake up. Your little pod's on fire. You have to put out the fire and then start going around and collecting metal and other little bits and pieces to survive. Mm-hmm. And you can build this entire base and have this whole world. You can make your own food, make your own oxygen, build yourself better and stronger spacesuits and not space.
Dive suits,
space dive, whatever. There are animals in the water that will kill you. It's different at night than it is during the day. You can build flashlights and flares.
Is this taking place on Earth, or is this like another world where you're underwater?
It doesn't say. It's got to be somewhere else because the moon is like in your face at night. I mean, it is like. Right here. It is gigantically in your face, and it's orange. So it's got to be some other planet.
Okay. All right.
It's like Water World, but cooler.
Oh. Yeah. That sells it a little better. Water World, not so much, but cooler. Yeah.
But cooler.
It is. Yeah. I see some Gears 1.
Yes. Yeah.
Is that a remaster or...?
No, I had the remaster was a disc, and Jim couldn't play the remaster version because we console share.
Yeah. Right.
And he had Gears 1, the regular one, and that was backwards compatible, and I had it. So we popped those in, and he hadn't played Gears 1 yet. So we went through Gears 1 together, and... I swear to God, that game's like 5 minutes long. It's just like it took us like 3 days.
Yeah,
and it was just like an hour or two each. And I honestly thought I was like, "Oh, we're coming up on the emboss. You know, this is going to take a while." And 6 shots straight to his head while he cleared away the krill, and we were done. I was like, "I thought it was going to take longer."
When I first played that years ago, I did that solo, and I really struggled with that last boss fight.
It took forever to kill Rom. It took forever. Were you doing it solo?
Were you doing it co-op? Yeah. And also, were you doing it on the harder difficulty or normal?
Don't do hard difficulties. Yeah. It was on normal.
But back in the day, I think I did play that through on the hard difficulty, and Rom was...
Yeah. A bit
crazy, stupid, hard. Yeah,
yeah. When it comes to Gears, I generally don't do casual. I skip it and start on whatever the middle one is, and then do the hardcore one after, just for shits and grins. Because I like the game.
Right.
And I generally go through the whole thing by myself the first time. And then we'll play with anybody that wants to play and help them along. But we did find, like, with Gears 2, if I set myself to casual and the other person set themselves to the hardcore version, that they would get all the hardcore achievements and I would stay alive a lot longer and it would be easier for me to get them through the game.
Okay.
Cheater. Yeah, well.
All right. All
Which
right.
is the one with the train at the end?
That's ROM.
That's one. Yeah.
Right. Oh, yeah. I couldn't get past the train.
Well,
that was it. That's the end. Then is it?
That is the ending.
Yeah. Yeah.
You were right there.
Yep.
All right. I give up.
Send me a friend request. I'll help you out.
It was on 360, and I don't think.
Yeah, but I can do 360 still.
All right. Okay. Well, no. Yeah, because it's all backwards compatible now. Anyway.
Just put your game save in the cloud. You can.
Oh well, yes, because I haven't got a 360 anymore, so I can't.
What?
Can't do that.
I still have an Xbox. Actually,
some people actually get rid of their stuff.
Yeah.
Got
a ZX81 in the cupboard if you want that.
No, and I also bought Overwatch.
Oh, so you got it?
Yes. You did get it?
Yeah, I did get it. Well, I figure, you know.
A lot of people are talking about it.
Yeah.
Well, I just wanted to try it out. I didn't have enough time to, like, really get into it because it was still downloading.
Mm-hmm.
So I did the training, the three training things with, because they bring up three different training sections. And I did the first one and got through it. Second one, you get to try all the different characters, and there's, like, plenty. And I do recommend you go through and try all the different characters. Each one has its own little power-up.
Right.
Then and some of them are really ignorant, and some of them are very badass. It just depends on your style.
Okay.
So
what's your favorite character then so far? Have you got one yet?
Black Widow.
Yeah, yeah. My son's got this game, and his favorites are Bastion, which is like the turreted robot thing, and then
I did like Bastion. Yeah. I did like him. It's not my absolute favorite, and I can't remember why. He was good, though. And then who's the first guy that you get to be?
Soldier 76, is it?
Yeah, I really actually kind of liked him.
Yeah.
And I don't like the little girl that you get to be after.
No, he also likes the Reaper character with a sort of like sawn off shotguns, and you can sort of like teleport.
Yeah, there's a Western guy.
Yeah.
And I like every time he talks, I hear Clint Eastwood, and it totally annoyed me. and I'm a huge Clint Eastwood fan, but just to hear this guy talk and his little guns going, I'm just like, oh, you're annoying. I don't think I did the power up once, and I was like, nope, go change. So I went and changed characters. There's a couple of them I was like, oh, you suck.
And you can change on the fly, correct?
Yeah.
No, I shouldn't say on the fly, but I mean, like, upon death, I think you can switch out.
Yeah, or you can also go back to your base and change during a round.
Right.
So you can change without even dying, yeah.
Which is really nice. Oh, what's on my feet? Oh, a puppy. Sorry. There's a puppy.
Oh, what's on my feet? Socks.
Slippers.
Slippers.
Yep, slippers.
All right, Nicole, anything else?
No, that was that and the puppy.
The puppy is new, yes. I have a feeling the puppy will make a podcast debut.
Come on. We're going to have to see the puppy now.
Oh,
he's so little. I know.
And I can't believe you've not given her a name yet.
I can't.
See three puppies now.
Oh, Papa.
You know what she reminds me of? A caramel frappe.
Yeah, no.
You call it caramel?
No, I can't.
But a scotch? Can you tell I'm candy right now?
Yes. I have some turtle cream cheese cheesecake in there.
Jujube.
Oh, that's cool.
All right. Indeed. Mark, yeah. Let's continue on. What have you been playing, my friend?
Well, like Pilch, I've been trying to clear some of my pile of shame, and I've played
I think I thought you were going to say pile of shit.
well, this is actually a pile of shit. I didn't
bite your tongue. It is not a pile of shit.
It did not age well. Rise, Son of Rome.
Can't believe you're saying this. Of course it did age well. It had like five character models for the entire game.
Yeah, and the combat. Oh my god, I hated the combat.
Combat's hard, but see, I found it satisfying once.
I did. I remember enjoying it the first time around, but after leaving it so long and coming back to it, it was so frustrating.
Yeah. I did find the multiplayer modes, because you can play them solo if you want. So I typically didn't have a lot of friends that were playing it, so I would play it just solo. And the combat for, like, I don't know, two or three waves felt good, and then suddenly it was, like, impossible. Yeah. But anyway, sorry.
So, yeah, I finally finished that. Like you say, there's about five different character models, so he's killing the same people over and over again. It's more like Rise, Son of Clone, rather than Son of Rome.
Yeah, I think that was one of the biggest shames of that game.
Yeah, but to be fair, it does still look quite good. It still looks a really pretty game. But it's just some of the animations and the combat is so clunky.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Okay.
A bit more Metal Gear Solid 5. Done a few more of the main missions. Got a bit further through the story. That game is unfolding into some weird shit again now.
Did you expect it not to? Come on. No. Really? Yeah, it's Kojima. The dude is whack.
There's some really out there sort of like characters in the game. There's a man on fire and this floating psychic girl thing. It's really weird. I have a clue what's going on, but it's so much fun still.
Mark, yes. I want honest answer now.
Yeah?
Have you been to the shower?
Yes. Do you mean the one on the mother base?
With Quiet. Yeah.
Oh, no, not with Quiet. Oh, can you do that with Quiet?
Really? Oh, my God. Somebody's going to go pick the game back up again.
All right, see you later, guys. as soon as you get off the chopper, there's like one of these port shower things, and then you go in, because as you play the game, for some reason you get absolutely soaked in blood. You, at the end of a mission, you're absolutely covered in like red goo. When you get back to the mother, you jump in the shower, and it says on the screen, you are refreshed and whatever it is, vitalized or whatever, and you come out all clean again. But I didn't know you could get him with Quiet.
You're being serious.
Recently.
You're being serious. You didn't know this.
Yeah, no, I didn't know that. No.
Yeah, this is like one of the big things people were talking about. There is a shower scene with Quiet. Right. Yeah.
I do take on missions now. I'm trying to level the buddy companionship up. And it is the typical Kojima, because in Metal Gear 4 on the PS3, there were a bit of boob jiggling in that. And in this one, while you're in the chopper going to missions, they do tend to jiggle about, because she does not wear much. And do you know what Kojima's...
She's clearly not a support bra.
do you know what Kojima's reason for this is? She breathes through her skin. Oh, I have seen a shower scene where she's soaking the water in and trying to breathe. Right. I have seen that. I didn't get in with her, though, but I've seen that one, yeah. I know what you mean now. Yeah, so she breathes through her skin, and that's why she doesn't wear any clothes, which... Poor excuse for being a complete pervert, Mr. Kojima. So...
Yeah. All right, let's talk about the last game on your list here.
Yeah, so... I wasn't going to buy this for a while.
Right.
It's a PS4 exclusive. It is Uncharted 4. The reason I wasn't going to buy it was because... A, it's a new game, so it's full price... And B, I haven't got time to play these new games, but I kept seeing all these things on the interwebs, and I was absolutely petrified of spoilers, because I am invested in this franchise. I love the franchise. I love all the games, especially 2. 2 is my favourite, and I did not want it spoiling. Now, luckily, I did have a bit of birthday money left over from earlier in the month, so I took the plunge, and I bought it.
no, I'll be very back.
So I've got Uncharted 4. Why don't you Nicole? Just turn your camera off.
I can't.
And I've only just started it today, and I have to say I am completely hooked. It is amazing.
Right.
Graphically, it is probably one of the best games I've ever seen. It is better, I'd say graphically better than Bloodborne and The Order.
Okay. High praise.
Yeah, the gameplay is more Uncharted. That's the only downfall. It is an Uncharted game. They have introduced a grapple hook, but we've seen that before in Tomb Raider. So the gameplay is pretty generic, but the way they've done it and the fluidity of it, it is superb. All the cutscenes in the game are all in-engine, and there's no break from the gameplay. You know, like, I think Tomb Raider did this as well, didn't it? You'll be going along, and then all of a sudden, the computer will take over and do a bit of action scene.
Little transition.
Yeah, and it works so well. The characters in it are great. That's my dog barking.
Oh, great. Now you. Yeah. E2, Brute!
He's seen the puppy. He wants to do naughty things to the puppy girl. The voice acting is superb, which we've known from the Uncharted series for a while. You've got Nolan North, and now you've got Troy Baker, two of the best computer game voice actors in the business together. And Elena is played by Emily Rose. She does the TV series Haven. I'm quite a bit of a fan of hers as well, and she does a voice acting this, and she's brilliant. Yeah, absolutely superb. I'm up to mission 5. I don't know how many missions there are. I'm probably 2 hours in, and already it's up there. It's going to be my top 5, I reckon.
Yeah, I have heard nothing but great things about the game. Yeah. So, I mean, it stands to reason that it would be up there. Yeah. And I'm glad you were able to get in before the spoilers about him retiring as a cab driver.
Thanks, Greg.
I reckon when I get to playing Uncharted 4, I'm not worried about spoilers per se on this. I guess maybe I'm not worried about it because I've conceded the fact that it's going to get spoiled for me. So I'm just kind of like, all right, it'll happen. But I still know I will enjoy playing through it. It didn't taint my enjoyment of playing Uncharted 2. And when I played Uncharted 3, I did play that one new. Yeah. I'm eager to see Uncharted 4, sure.
Yeah, there is... I don't think this is a spoiler. I'm going to do a Stu Fowler now. I'm going to ruin it.
Hold on. If you're listening to this podcast right now and you are getting ready to play Uncharted 4 and you don't want anything remotely spoiled for you, fast forward like 1 minute.
Yeah, 1 minute. Right, so I've got 1 minute. But it's an early level in... Like in Uncharted 3, where you sort of like flash back into when you were a child. So, but this was done a lot better than 3. Similar, but I think better. Yeah. It gives you a bit of backstory between you and your brother. But yeah. Okay. Spoiler free now.
All right. Done. Nicole, I think, is still breastfeeding the dog. Oh, that was horrible of me to say, but I can't believe it. Sorry, Nicole.
We're just willing this piece of paper to fall down, aren't we?
Curiosity now is just like out there.
Mark, right. And it's not up it's yet, off. So I think one of those.
I was feeding the puppy.
Oh, so you were. So you're right, Greg. Yeah.
Oh, Nicole, you will have to listen to this again to understand we're laughing, but that was perfect. Thank you. All right. So my one and only game I've been playing this past week has been Wolfenstein: The New Order, going back into my pile of shame. I will say this. If you're craving and you haven't played Wolfenstein and you haven't played Homefront and you're thinking, God, I want to get a game that is in, you know, kind of an occupation, you know, kind of a different future. Don't play Homefront. Play Wolfenstein: The New Order. Wolfenstein: The New Order. It legitimately is shocking me how good that game is, and not just from the gameplay, because I had heard a lot of people talking about that, and Fraser Moores had done a really good job of selling this game from a gameplay perspective to us. Gosh, I want to say good a year ago, if not longer. What I didn't expect, and what I'm really, really caught off guard by, is the quality of the cutscenes and the voice acting. I don't think of B.J. Blazkowicz as being a character that I really care to watch in a cutscene, but the guys that did Wolfenstein did such a fantastic job on the direction of the cutscenes in Wolfenstein, that it just legitimately comes across as one of the better directed and voice acted storylines I've seen in a really long time. I'm really blown away by how well the story works in this game. So if you have not played this and you come across it, I mean, it's cheap enough as is now, but if you get it on a sale and you see it, buy it. It is worth playing. And I know they have the Old Blood is a follow-up DLC piece to it. I don't know how good or bad that is, but based on what I played,
Chinny,
I'm assuming.
Chinny played the Old Blood, and he quite highly rated it, said it was really good. So
okay. Mm-hmm. I will say Wolfenstein The New Order has one of the longest intros I've ever played, but not in a bad way. I mean, just it was shocking how long it was, and also kind of one of the most gut-wrenching ones because you are forced to make a choice, and that choice I was really caught off guard by, and maybe it's because it's been so long since I had heard about this game, so I wasn't expecting it, and that choice comes along, and I was just like, what do I do? And I didn't know, but... anyway, I highly recommend it. It is fantastic.
Greg,
yes.
Did you go back and do the other part of that?
I did not.
Without spoilers.
I have not.
It's surprising how much just sort of half of it actually changed the story. It's worth playing through as the other one. I think there's a point that you can... I think there's a save point. You can go back to it and do it again from there.
That would be interesting.
And you get achievements for that.
Okay, that would be interesting to see. I will say I do know later in the game, much later in the game, there is a conversation that takes place that references back to that moment. And I instantly was thinking, okay, how would this game be different than based on supporting cast, different characters, because it would dramatically change, at least I think.
Yeah.
How things would have gone. So, and I may have to at least play through that intro again and do something different this time. So, Wolfenstein The New Order. If you haven't played it, by all means, pick it up. It is worth playing. And it also, it's one of those games that is just a fun shooter. From a mechanic standpoint, it's one of those games where, one, you get to carry all your weapons, and there's some crazy, interesting weapons that you get to carry. Kind of Doom-like, you have your wheel selection, and there's like, I think, 6 or 7 different gun types that you have, and you can go double guns or single gun, and they just are satisfying to shoot, and there's a lot of destructible environment in this game. Another thing I really wasn't expecting, caught me off guard. Especially when I was getting shot through cover and not realizing what was happening at first. And then I was like, wait, that pillar's gone. What happened? again, not to go on and on about a game from, 2 years back. But this game from 2 years back holds up incredibly well, even to today. So that is the game I have been playing. Now,
Greg,
yes? Yes, Nicole.
Sorry. Is it backwards compatible?
It is next gen,
it came out for the X1.
Yes.
I couldn't remember because it must have come out like right when the X1 came out.
I think it was like the first year that summer.
Yeah. Okay, that's what it
came
was.
Out? Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
And I remember everybody being caught off guard by it because it came out in a weird time. I want to say it came out in May. And in fact, as I think back on it, Mark, I had a choice of Project Cars or Wolfenstein The New Order, and I chose Project Cars, and I really kind of regret that choice at that time.
May,
and still do.
May 2014.
Because that hasn't got any better.
So it's been out two years this May.
Yeah, it holds up fantastically. Yeah.
And you've got me really wanting to play this. I know you've been picking it up a lot on the WhatsApp chat and everything, so... Yeah, I nearly played this, but then I picked up Uncharted, so that swayed me to that.
I'll be curious to see what you think, especially coming off Uncharted 4, where you talk about fantastic cutscenes. Mm. Uncharted 4 is the pinnacle. I mean, the Uncharted series to me is the pinnacle of cutscene direction. Yeah. So that will be interesting to see, because I think it is the cutscenes I thought were better directed and better voiced even than Tomb Raider.
Yeah.
And I held Tomb Raider really high up. So anyway. Yes, Nicole.
There's a dog chewing on my toes. Sorry.
And moving on.
It tickles.
Excuse me, disagree. No. Doggy licks. I can't even go there. Never mind. Hey, before we get into podcast trivia, because I know you both are very excited to do this, and Pilch, you are going to be brought into podcast trivia for the first time, we have an email to read through. So,
we've got some emails.
This is a rather lengthy email, by the way. It literally just came through about an hour ago. So, Simon Kempster sent us off an email, and he says, "Hi, everyone. I've been listening for quite a while now. Even the shows when Nicole isn't on," and there's a little smiley face there. So. He says, "but not participating much, so here's a long overdue email." So, first of all, thank you, Simon, for sending the email. I said, "This morning I got my fourth platinum trophy on my PS4 for the crew." Says, "I've had my PS4 for 8 months. I've got four platinum trophies on my PS Vita that I've had for over 3 years, and I've got four platinum trophies on my PS3 that I've had for 8 years." So I'm just going to say right now, the ratio of platinum trophies is the length of time is definitely shortening. Mm. He seems to be more engaged with his PS4.
I've had my PS4 since launch, and he's got more platinums than I have.
Yeah. He said, "But this has got me thinking about trophies in general. So I have a few questions that I'd like to put to you. Wherever I say trophy, the same applies to achievements." Okay. Here we go. He says, "Have you ever gone out of your way to get trophies in a game that you didn't need in order to finish the game?" I'll just complete the paragraph here, because I think he's nicely done this for me and broken things out in paragraphs for each. He said, "There are a lot of examples of this for me, but the most obvious is Brothers: A Tale of Two Sons. As that game can be completed without getting any of its trophies, I did this the first time, then went back and made a point of getting all of the trophies. So have any of you, you know, basically gone out of your way to get trophies in a game that you didn't need to in order to finish the game?" I think we can all say yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't know I've gone back to, like, platinum a game that way, although I guess you could say no. I take that back. So when I have only a couple. I mean, mind you, there are, like, I think maybe two games I've actually 1,000 point achieved. Often I just don't care enough to go back and do that. But I have done it a couple times, and I think that's really kind of the example here of when you are completing a game to 100% or 1,000%, whatever you want to call it. That obviously you're going to be going out of your way. I don't think there's any way you can usually complete a game but get all of the trophies for it. So platinuming a game would, you know, by its nature. Am I wrong?
Telltale games, Minecraft, story mode, things like that, you can do. You just get an achievement for each story, for each level that you've finished.
True.
So you can do them. You can get 1,000 Gs on them easily. You don't have to go out of your way to get them.
Okay.
Is
there any that stand out to any of you guys? Pilch, is there like an achievement or a trophy that stands out to you where you're like, "I remember this was like completely driving me nuts"? Although maybe you talked about it earlier.
Yeah, Rocket League, yeah. Forza 3, I've got 995 points, and there's an achievement for 5 that you have to do drift. For a ridiculous amount of points. I give up. I cannot do that. Yes. Yeah. I can't get anywhere near it. You need something like 70,000 points, drift points, and I get about 30. So,
yeah. Okay.
That one's a bit annoying.
That was a bastard to do.
Yeah.
My most rewarding and the biggest achievement I've got, what I've like cherish, is Call of Duty 2 on Veteran, because that was a bastard to do. And that was the only time I've ever done a Call of Duty on veteran. I've never done one since.
Okay. So. All right. Nicole, anything that jumps out?
Y'all are going to laugh at me. The Fable games, because you had to be the good guy and the evil guy. And it was so hard for me to be evil. Yeah. I had the hardest time being evil. So those were always my hardest ones to get. I would totally go through the whole thing being a good person, my little halo and my little blue skin, and then have to go back. And I would still screw up every time trying to be the evil guy because I just couldn't do it.
Okay. All right. No, I remember the Fable. God, it was Fable 2 where you could get the achievement for having a child with another player.
Yeah.
Like yes.
That was ridiculously funny within our community. Yes. I think the one that stood out to me the most of just driving me nuts was Halo 4. There was an achievement for basically you had to free fall and assassinate an elite from high above. So there was this cliff that was overlooking this area when there was a bunch of elites and grunts down there. And I must have tried this thing, I mean, I cannot, maybe 400 times. And I finally get it to pop. I get the assassination to happen, and the achievement did not pop. And at that point, I just said, screw this. So, yeah, that would be my example. But all right, let's continue on with his email. Have you ever continued playing a game just to get trophies, even though you weren't enjoying doing so? So you hated the game, didn't like the game, but you were just doing it to get achievements.
Well, my perfect example of that is the past sort of like 7 or 8 years I've been doing the Gamerscore Challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of us have played games we don't like, we don't want to play, just for achievements. On the 360, I was a massive 360 player back in the day, and the Xbox doesn't have platinums as such, but you can fully complete a game in 1,000 Gs. And I think I've, if you look on my true achievements, I think I've done 54 games where I've completed them 1,000 full score. So that's like 54 platinums equivalent.
Right.
And most of those were all down to Gamerscore Challenge. Sadly, due to circumstances I can't control, I'm not doing the one this year so far. I might do it later on in the year. I know a lot of people didn't want to do it in the summer anyway because they want to get outdoors and not get stuck inside. So I might do it later on in the year. But yeah, the Gamerscore Challenge it's broke me a lot of times. And I think it burnt me out on achievements and trophies. I'm not that bothered now. If they're there and achievable,
right,
I'll go out of my way a little bit to get it. But I won't put myself under pressure and frustration to get it anymore. Not anymore.
So, okay. Pilch, you sound like you're in agreeance.
Yeah, when you look at them, some of them are just so way ahead, far from anything you're ever going to get. Like, kill 20 million enemies. Right. You think, well, you've got to play it for days and days and days to do that. I don't think I've played any games that I didn't like specifically to get achievements.
Right.
But I always look, if I'm playing a Call of Duty or a Halo, I look to see, I don't like doing the campaign more than once. So I'll look to see if there's achievements for what difficulty level you're on.
Right.
Because if I play it on easy and then I find out you can get an achievement for hard, for legendary, for heroic, that means I've got to play it 4 times.
Right.
So I start it on heroic and then I'll finish the whole game and then all the achievements pop in one go.
Right, but
if there's an achievement for just sort of doing it on easy and medium, but not for hard, I'll just do it on medium.
Okay.
I won't punish myself to do a game on hard if I'm not going to get anything out of it.
That's one of my pet hates as well. There are certain games where the difficulty level achievements do not stack, and that frustrates the hell out of me. If you're going to play on the hardest level, then they should allow all the other ones to unlock. But some certain games, I can't remember what they are now, but some games will not stack on the difficulty. And that's wrong, is that?
I finished Halo 5, and the second I finished it, I think I got about 20 achievements. It just went ping, 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 one for finishing it, one for finishing that section, one for three for different difficulty levels, and they just kept ping, 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 and it was quite satisfying to see all that.
Yeah, it's like it's like a slot machine. You know, you hit the lever and suddenly it comes up, and you're like, "Wow, I just hit it!" Yeah. Nicole, anything? Yes. Any game you didn't like, but you played it just to get those achievements?
There was some stupid Burger King game. I don't even like Burger King food.
No, I hear you there.
But I remember the game. I remember popping it in the stupid, in the Xbox 360 going, I just need the damn points. And I suffered through it. And then that Dorito game too.
Oh, yeah.
That was a quality game though. Dorito Crash Course.
Crash Course, it wasn't too bad.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Hey.
That's back compat as well now, isn't it?
Yeah. I can honestly say I don't think I've ever actually played a game I didn't like just to get achievements. I don't have the tolerance for that. Simon, he did actually say, he said Asphalt Injection on the Vita was his pain in the arse game. He said, I did it. It should, you know, haven't touched the game since, but he played it through for the achievements, for the trophies.
Did he say arse, or did you?
He did actually say arse. He did actually say arse.
That's never... like one of my favorite words. Arse.
He goes on, have you ever gone out of your way to get trophies for a game to such an extent that it put you off playing the game anymore? He said, I did that with Rocket League. Pilch, you might be also in a similar boat. He said, it's a fun game when played as intended, but I went grinding solo for trophies until I got them all, and again, haven't touched it since. I could see that. I could see the hunting of the trophies kind of once it's done, it's kind of like, well, I'm done with the game.
Yeah, but many a time I've rented a game for the 360 when Love Film used to do the rentals, again for the Gamer's Score challenges. And after an hour, depending on how the achievements are unlocking, that thing was usually back in the post and gone. And if it was a game where it was easy achievements, which were usually the kid games, I'd keep it a bit longer. But yeah, okay. Usually went straight back in the post.
All right.
There is a kid game that's miserable hard. Bolt.
Yeah, I got a full 1,000 in that.
That was a movie based, right?
That game was flipping hard. My kids are like, I'm not playing this.
Yeah,
I'm not either. Screw it. It's hard.
Yeah, I did that. full 1,000 on that. all the kids' games, some of them. The watch thing with the animals coming out of it. What's that called now? Ben 10. I did all the Ben 10 games. They were quite good, them. I quite enjoyed them.
I'm realizing what a game whore you are.
I know.
Not anymore, though.
Yeah. Pilch, anything for you? I mean, I know you did talk about Rocket League earlier. That's been your frustration point. But any games where you've basically got everything out of it you wanted, and then you're just like, I'm done with this now?
I don't think so. Obviously, it works the other way. You finish a game and you're done with the game and you just don't want to do any more to get achievements. I don't think it happens the other way that often. No.
All right. That's fair. That's fair. Another question here from him. Again, these are all kind of achievement related, but this one actually I think we can even go beyond just getting all the trophies or achievements for it. We can maybe even say just playing it to completion for this question. So he said, have you ever played a game after getting all the trophies just because you liked it so much? Sorry, let me just go back. So you're basically playing the game again after you've gotten everything out of it, but you just like playing it. He said, my main game here is Burnout Paradise. I played the game 12 times to 100% completion across 3 different profiles, including getting Diamond P12 for all 500 online challenges. I don't know what that means. totaling for 1,000 hours. Obviously, I could only get the trophies once per profile. So what game have you gone back to, even though you've like 1,000 or 100% of it? You know, it's done. There's nothing else you can do.
Quite a lot, actually. Forza 2, Forza 3, Forza 4. I've completed all of them, full 1,000, and I've gone back and carried on playing them. Forza Horizon 1 and 2, done them. Oh. Dirt 2 and 3.
Here's a question, Mark.
Minecraft.
Now, is that because they're community games, out of curiosity?
Yeah, probably, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Pilch, anything for you that you've gone back to? You've done it all, but you've said I like playing this game.
I think I found G Dead Island, and I think I carried on playing that for quite a bit longer to finish the story, just to pick up, you know, the little quests and bits and pieces. But again, it's something different. It's not something you've already done. I don't think if I was specifically doing it to get the achievements, I don't think there would be any need to carry on after that. But if you're playing it anyway, most games, you're playing it because you like playing it, and you end up getting the achievements anyway.
Right.
I don't think there's any that I think, I must play it to get the achievements and then carry on.
Okay.
So probably not, no.
Nicole?
Halo and Gears. I mean, right, really? Right. But again, it's the community aspect, too.
It's more the online multiplayer.
Oh, yeah, I could play the crap out of either of those games still to this day. We'll get a group together. The girls and I were playing, Donna and Janine, and Janine's daughter now can play. And we're over here laughing our butts off playing Gears of War 3 Horde mode. I mean,
right.
How long's that game been out? Right. And we're doing this like a week or two ago. So, I will play a game, that especially Gears, I will play to death, probably.
All
right. I might as well get that tattooed on my ass or something.
Go right ahead.
why don't you get a Gears t-shirt?
You're too funny. Easy. I have one. I will never wear it again.
Don't be shy, Nicole. Don't be shy. So one thing I've taken from this conversation is that it does feel like community maybe is the big part of what gets us coming back to those kind of games. The one game I can think of that's the exception to that rule for me, XCOM. I have played through XCOM campaign 4 times now on different machines. So I've very much in XCOM Enemy Unknown, XCOM Enemy Within, and even the original XCOM. I mean, I like XCOM.
Yeah, I've never played that game.
I played it on 360 and PS3 and on the Mac. And when it comes to backward compatible next month, I will be playing it again.
Yep.
It is a fantastic game, yeah.
All right, so he's wrapping up here. Finally, what is the biggest gap you've gone between getting your first and most recent trophy in a game? Trophies first came out for PS3 on July 2nd, 2008, and I got my first trophy ever in Super Stardust HD on the 4th of July, 2008. I then got a few days ago for a gap even over 7 years and 10 months. Can anyone beat that? So I'm assuming what he's talking about here is like a trophy gap in a game, because obviously...
Right.
You're not going to have a long distance between probably getting trophies to pop or achievements to pop just through playing games continuously, but one game. So I can honestly say it's not going to be 7 years for me. I mean, XCOM might be the one for me that would be the considered because I've come back to it recently, but.
I remember my first achievement, and I didn't know what the hell it was. I was playing, it was the launch 360.
Right.
I was playing Condemned, and something popped at the bottom. And I didn't quite catch what it said, and I knew it wasn't a friend coming online, and it wouldn't come back on again. Then I noticed I had this little G in the corner on my dashboard, and a number associated with it, something like 20 or something, and I think, oh, what's that? So I did a bit of digging around, and I found out then what achievements were. So looking on True Achievements now, that was July 2006 was my first ever achievement on my current gamertag.
Okay.
But I think I did a different gamertag then, I'm sure I did, because I think I'd done... I got my first 360 in January 2006 because I think... Did it launch 2005, but there was a shortage?
Yes.
Yeah. But yeah, I remember... I mean, I have played some games where I've gone back to them quite a long time later, maybe a year or so, and I've got further achievements. A good example is Rise on a Rome. Last time I played that was, what, 2 years ago?
That's a good point, yeah.
7 years, I don't think I can beat that. I think he's won on that.
No.
Yeah. I think he's a winner on that ground.
Anyone beat 7 years between?
No.
No? No? All right.
He wins a trophy for that one.
talk about your pile of shame there. He said, okay, that's enough waffle from me, I think. He said, I don't do Twitter, so here's a picture showing that I got the platinum trophy for the crew. That's good enough for victories achieved entry. If not, well, bugger. It is then, yay. Yes, we will absolutely give you a victory achieved for the crew. He said, I don't know exactly how long it took, as the in-game counter seems to not be counting correctly after about 291 hours. He's apparently played a lot of this game. Not bad for a guy who's going to be 50 next year, I wow. think. See, you say should stop counting after 30. That's
I know. Philosophy. I'm going to be 29 for the rest of my life.
Yes,
you are. 21's just too damn young and stupid.
No. Agreed. So, yes. Thank you, Simon Kempster. PSN ID cosine. So, K-O-S-I-G-A-N. So, if you're on PSN. Kosigan.
Yeah, I think I've got him on my friends. Yeah, I've got him on my
friends. I said cosine. Kosigan, yes.
Yeah, that rings a bell, does that? Yeah.
There you go. So look him up on PSN. Yeah, thank you for the email. Absolutely. And we will be sure to include you in the victories achieved. All right. It is that time. He actually has a couple of victories achieved here, by the way. Oh, he had his Super Stardust HD picture in here. Sorry. Okay.
That's another great game.
It is. It is. Another great game, podcast trivia.
Yes.
Oh, shit.
So,
I was so happy up until that point.
This is exciting, folks. It's so we have been doing podcast trivia now for quite some time. But this year, this calendar year, we introduced a season one, season two. So at the end of season one, the winner is going to get a little something special from me.
Stop chewing
bragging rights. Maybe a dog.
No, she's chewing on the power cord to the computer.
Cool. Mark is now secretly voting chew.
Puppy, chew through the network cable. I'll win by default.
All right, so here's how this works in Pilch. Just so you know, what we do in the podcast notes, there's a little section for the trivia. It's red, mm-hmm. I believe. So I'm going to be asking a question. Basically, there will be multiple answers to that trivia question. You'll basically select the one that you think is the correct answer, and I'll ask everybody to submit their answer at the same time. And then, voila, we will have a correct answer, hopefully. And maybe, just maybe, somebody will pull ahead in their lead. Maybe somebody will catch up a little bit. Maybe it will stay the same. Just a tale of the tape for the record. Nicole is leading our podcast trivia right now with, I believe, 13 points. Mark is right on her heels at 11 points. So they have 3 weeks left as of right now to wrap things up. So here we go. First question. What game has had the highest development cost? I'm just looking how this was verified. So, okay. So this is based on basically the publicly made known development costs of the game. So, and there's a website that he cited when he got this answer. So we'll base it off of that. So what game has had the highest development cost? Not going to tell you, but what game has had the highest development cost? Is it A, Destiny, B, GTA 5, C, Star Wars The Old Republic, or D, Max Payne 3? What game has had the highest development cost? Destiny, GTA 5, Star Wars The Old Republic, or Max Payne 3? Please give me your answers. Now,
I don't know what the number was. So
that's
I just
okay.
Give you
that's
the
okay.
answer.
And Pilch, if you could give me one of your answers here, you could play along.
Okay. Well, I think it's got to be B.
All right. Everybody is saying GTA 5. Yeah. And I am happy to say everybody's wrong.
Oh,
Star Wars.
Yes. It was, in fact, Star Wars The Old Republic. 200 million. To make that game. GTA 5 was the third highest at 137 million. Destiny, 140 million reportedly. And Max Payne 3, a mere 105 million. All right. So no points awarded for that question. Nicole breathing a little bit easier.
I nearly went for Star Wars as well.
Trust that gut, Mark. Trust the gut.
Yeah.
All right.
I did the same thing, which is why I switched to GTA 5. I was like, well, Star Wars seems too easy.
All right. Are you ready for your next Nintendo question?
Oh, no.
Oh, fuck. No, don't let it be Nintendo.
Here we go. Out of 55 possible achievements available for XCOM, Enemy Unknown, for the Xbox 360, how many has Murphy's Law gotten?
Oh, shit.
Are you serious?
Out of 55 possible achievements for XCOM, Enemy Unknown, how many have I gotten on the Xbox 360 version of Enemy Unknown? Is it A, 43, B, 50, C, 28, or D, 33? How many achievements do you think I have gotten out of a possible 55 for XCOM Enemy Unknown? 43, 50, 28, or 33? Does everybody have a number in their mind?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I don't know what letter it was.
All right, I will take your answers now.
Oh, that's backwards.
And Pilch?
I'll say 33. Whatever that was.
So Pilch has said 33, Mark has said 28, and Nicole has said 43. I can tell you affirmatively, somebody got this right.
Probably Pilch.
I can effectively tell you it was not Pilch. Sorry,
no.
You did not get it correct.
Oh, dear.
I can also tell you that Mark did not get it right.
Oh, no!
Yes, in fact, 43 achievements have been achieved by me in XCOM Enemy Unknown. How could you possibly think it would be that low, Mark?
Because you don't go after achievements, do you?
But no, he doesn't, but he's played the shit out of that game.
Well, a blow has been given to Mark's comeback for sure, but there's still time.
I'm not blowing Mark. Let me get that on the record right now.
Well done, Nicole. Well done, Nicole. All right. Well, that does it for Victories Achieved. Let us move on to the other part of the podcast where we start talking about stuff that's coming up, like new releases. Nicole, if you wouldn't mind, maybe read through some of the games we can look forward to playing in the coming week.
All right. So starting on May 31st, because what are these? Sorry, it scrolled up on me. So from the 28th of May through June 3rd, these are our new releases. But like I said, beginning May 31st is Daydreamer Awakened Edition for the PS4, Dead Island Definitive Edition. Yeah, that only makes me crack up because that was like one of those games that was so crappy but so fun at the same time.
Right.
I would
bitch?
I would totally get that game again just to play because it was just like craptastic fun. Yeah. But that's for the Xbox One, PS4, and PC also on the 31st. The Elder Scrolls Online Dark Brotherhood for PC and Mac. Neon Chrome for the PS4, One Piece Burning Blood, Xbox One, PS4,
any
and
of these
Vita.
Games.
What?
I don't know any of these games right now.
No.
Me either. Score Rush Extended for the PS4. It's because we don't play the PS4 enough. Shadow Blade Reload for the PS4. There Came an Echo, also for the PS4.
I have this on PC. I have There Came an Echo on PC. I have to say I was not overly impressed by it. But it is basically XCOM-like, but it used voice commands as part of its setup. Yeah, I'd be curious to see what that's like on console. Mm-hmm. I'll just say that.
That one, there came an echo. That's the one you're talking about?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
All right. And The Witcher 3, Blood and Wine for yes. Xbox One, PS4, PC. and who put Woohoo Bitches? Seriously.
Really? do you need to know? Come on. The guy that's basically doing his achievement erection, by hitting all the little buttons. Yes.
Yeah. All right. But that's all for May 31st.
That's for the PlayStation people. Carry on,
I'm really worried about him.
I would be too.
Yes, and beginning June 1st is that Aralux Constellations for PC, Pool Nation VR. What is that?
Well, it's a VR game. It's Pool Nation. Yeah. And Pool Nation, yeah, exactly, Pilts, exactly. Pool Nation is not a good game. I don't think it's going to get any better in VR.
Pure Pool was such a better version, apparently.
Yeah.
And then Senran Kagura Shinobi Versus for PC.
What was that?
That was Mark giving me a heart attack. Brigador for PC, Mac, and Linux on June 2nd. Kick and Fennec on Xbox One, PS4, and Wii U for June 2nd. They still make games for the Wii U? I'm sorry.
No, that's a worthwhile comment, because let's think about this. That is the only game coming out on the Wii U in the coming week.
And that's true. Continuing on June 2nd is Might and Magic Heroes 7 Trial by Fire for the PC. And Turmoil also for the PC on June 2nd. And that does it for our new releases.
All right. Mark?
Yes.
You like our freebies?
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
do like our freebies. Let's talk about some freebies, and we still have to come back to news. By the way, I realize we kind of
skipped to news. Yeah,
we'll come back to it in just a moment. So let's talk about the freebies, because that will actually get us into part of the news, because we can go into the Sony rumored.
Yeah. So Games with Gold on the old Xbox for June 2016.
I'm taking the soundboard away from you.
I know, right?
I'm going to send you to your room. I'm taking the soundboard away.
You're grounded, Marky.
The first half of the month, first of the 16th, we have Goat Simulator, or as some people like to call it, Goat Stimulator. and then the second half, from the 16th to the 30th of June, we have The Crew.
Which yes.
I've got on disc, I've had it 2 years, and I've hardly ever played it, but... I can sell my disc now.
Right. You can make a little money back.
And on 360, which is also going to be backward compatible, Super Meat Boy, which is a great little puzzle platformer. That was free on the PS4 recently. Or PS3, can't remember. That's 1st to the 16th. And then, the big one, from the 16th to the 30th, XCOM Enemy Unknown on the 360. Backward compatible.
Right.
Playing it again.
So... My one complaint is that
it's
XCOM
Enemy Within
is the better game.
Yeah, I've not
it is the better
yet.
Game, and I don't get why they didn't pull that game forward as opposed to Enemy Unknown. But maybe this is foreshadowing for something to happen at E3. Who knows?
Yeah.
But Enemy Within would have been my preference. But I'll play it either. Yeah. I'll play it. All right. What's going on with PlayStation Plus, Mark, for June?
They have not officially been announced yet. Believing it late again, they do this a lot. So we have no official titles for June from PlayStation, but there are some rumours.
Well, let's talk about the rumours.
I didn't write them down, I gave you them.
Well, I will tell you, it's rumoured, Mark, by a very reliable source, according to you, which I don't know if that's all that reliable, by the way. But supposedly NBA 2K16 and Gone Home are going to be the PlayStation 4 games that would be coming out with PlayStation Plus. If true, I mean, they're solid games. I mean, the NBA 2K series has been a very big NBA series. I mean, well, it's the only NBA game out there until EA finally figures out how to make a proper basketball game. So NBA 2K, that's a good quality game. It's the FIFA, if you will, of the NBA. Gone Home, I don't know what to think about Gone Home. Everybody talked about it. They're saying it's
a lot of PC. Yeah, a lot of PC players rave about it. I think Duke liked it, didn't he?
Yeah, but what did turn me off a little bit is this notion of walking simulator games.
Yeah,
that it is one of those. I don't know that I will enjoy it. Whenever I do get around to playing it, but you know, maybe it's worth.
And there's also the possibility of some cross-buy games. They usually throw one or two in either Vita or PS3, so right. We don't know what they are yet, rumours. So. I'm sure we'll know in the next couple of days.
I'm thinking by next week you'll know.
Yeah.
That's just my guess. All right, so other things, though, that happened in the news front, we can jump into that. So speaking of release dates, this actually worked out perfectly. No Man's Sky has been officially delayed, so it's no longer coming out in June. Everybody was anticipating it coming out, I think, June 13th, somewhere around there.
It was supposed to come out in June, yeah.
Now it is basically getting delayed out to August 12th.
Denied.
You're grounded.
Yeah.
I know. I was clear my throat, and that came out.
The only person I know who reveled in this news was our own Fraser Hawes. I think he called this, didn't he, saying it's going to be delayed. And it doesn't want it to fail, but he's got this strong feeling it's going to fail.
I was surprised it got pushed out, to be honest. Mm. As much as this game is being tentpoled as kind of one of the PlayStation games, you know, it's gone from being an indie title to a full-blown $60 disc-released game. A lot of hype on this.
They only gave the release date recently as well, didn't they? They haven't given a release date for a lot of its development. I'm sure they only released it.
I want to say we knew, God, beginning of the year, it was supposed to come out like June 13th, right, like E3 week.
Yeah, but like I said, we've known about this game for, what, nearly 2 years now.
Right.
Yes.
And they've only released a release date this year, and now it's already being put back.
Yeah.
So, but
well,
yeah, but still, wouldn't you rather have a game that is, I mean, because Battlefield, those games ended up being total shit and causing a lot of problems. I would rather them say, okay, yeah, my bad, we screwed up, we really need to extend until August and give me good product, versus them going, okay, here it is with all the bugs.
Absolutely, they did it with Uncharted, didn't they? Uncharted 4 got pushed back for a bit more polish. Yeah. So yeah, absolutely, I'm totally with you on that one.
And it's not a huge delay. I mean, in the scope of things, it's a couple
2 months.
Yeah, that's not the end of the world.
It's not a Drive Club.
No.
But I did see a remark where they said that game developers are doing this more and more to get more pre-orders.
Would be disappointing if that's the true intention of this. Now there was a statement released by Sean Murray. So he's the director on the game. So he threw out this, as we approached our final deadlines, we realized that some key moments needed extra polish to bring them up to our standards. So I said, I have had to make the tough choice to delay the game for a few weeks to allow us to deliver something special. So, according to, them, they needed some extra polish time, take them at their face value for it. And hopefully they deliver something that is, extraordinary and special. Because I know a lot of people are super hyped on it. On a side note, though, speaking of the hype around this game, I forgot the guy on Kotaku who released this, the name of the writer. But he had released basically kind of the rumor that it was getting delayed officially a couple days ago. He had, heard basically it was going to be delayed. Jason, so he released Schreier. Out a story. Yes, Jason Schreier.
Yeah.
He got this crazy Twitter death threat, basically.
Yeah, it is.
This person went onto Twitter and basically said, I can't believe you're spreading lies like this. And I forgot how he worded it, but it's in a sense kind of the extent of, I am going to drop everything I was going to do, and now I'm going to come and kick your ass. And, okay, one... probably not, but
it's just a game.
Exactly. This is, I mean, if you are that tied into a game and you are getting that anxious about it, you need to seek professional help.
Thank you.
And you need to take up some other hobbies that are not competitive in nature. You know, knitting. I understand there are not knitting fanboys, so maybe take up some knitting.
Calm yourself down. Get yourself a puppy.
Get yourself a puppy. Yes.
Okay, that has a U in it, sweetie, not two O's. It's not a poopy.
A poopy?
It's not a poopy.
I guarantee you that dog will get poopy at some point. All right. Moving on to more positive news, especially on the Sony front. Uncharted 4 first week sales surpassed Uncharted 3 by over 66%. In fact, they sold over 2.7 million units the first week of the game.
2.7 million in one now, because I just bought it today.
Yes, yes. That's impressive stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm super happy
for an exclusive as well, yeah.
Absolutely, absolutely. And you know, from everything we're hearing, it deserves all the accolades it's getting.
It's a great film.
It did. Sony also
he's not coming on again.
Yeah. Sony also has some more positive news on the sales front. Sony, the PlayStation 4 has been a juggernaut. There's no denying that. And they have basically passed through the milestone of 40 million units. And they are projecting for basically to sell another 20 million units by next April. So basically their fiscal year, I think, shores up April 1st. Or end of March. And that's a lot of units. They're thinking 20 million in the year. That is eclipsing what they were doing with the PS3 for sure. Because I think the PS3, they were right around 15 million pretty consistently year over year. So 20 million is nothing to sneeze at. Or you can, I don't know. But yeah, so Sony is doing well with this machine for sure. Now for some of the more nebulous news. So,
nebulous. How much did you pay for that word? $5, didn't you?
So, rumors. Xbox rumors surfaced this past week. Supposedly, I mean, very much kind of like what happened with the PS Neo. The PlayStation 4 Neo, that suddenly there was a number of different publications saying that they had confirmation from developers and documentation, basically talking about this new hardware. We've now had multiple sources come forward saying, hey, we've now had Xbox hardware rumors basically confirmed to us. The rumors that have, quote unquote, been confirmed are basically kind of five, I think, that are sitting out there. So one is an Xbox streaming stick similar to Chromecast, where you'll be able to basically kind of plug in this USB stick and basically dial up your Xbox and stream to it. There is an Xbox TV, which is going to be similar to a Roku or Apple box, but this is not an Xbox One Slim, which is the next rumor. And I should say those first two, I haven't seen a lot of people corroborating those. So I don't know how legit they could be.
There is a TV one in the UK at the moment for the Freeview channels, because Robin's got one. It's an add-on accessory to pick up the Freeview channels.
Maybe they're finally bringing that over to the US.
Yeah,
maybe
so they might include apps on it like your Netflixes, your Amazon Primes.
Right. Okay. I mean, that certainly makes
sense. Isn't Sony doing that too right now? So are they?
But that's built into the PS4.
Right.
Yeah. So basically,
a
rumor like that though would make more sense if they put it inside the current Xbox as it is, so that you could stream whatever you wanted, TV wise, like PlayStation's doing, because it's something I actually looked about at for PlayStation to get rid of cable,
right?
And maybe just watch my favorite shows via the PlayStation and spend $30 versus the $108 or whatever the hell I'm spending every month for this crap that I watch like five channels on.
Right, right.
They want to make the box smaller, not bigger, though. Can't stick
well,
some
like,
more
I
stuff
also
in there.
Have Apple TV, and it doesn't have... It doesn't have the capability for me to do what the PlayStation does, where I can pick out channels that I want, but it does have apps like HBO Now, Netflix, stuff like that.
I've got Apple TV 3, and it's a nice little coaster for me cup of tea, because that's about all it does.
I've got all my digital movies. I buy everything Blu-ray and digital so that I can have it both ways. And then if the kids destroy a movie, I still have it digitally, and I'm safe.
You know what strikes me funny is that we just had a lot of conversation around TV. And that was the thing that everybody cried about at the very beginning of this generation that they didn't want. We don't want TV. Don't talk about TV. And no.
But it makes it easier to have it all in one thing, you know?
Microsoft right marketing now, right now is cringing. Because they're like, see, we told you. We told you.
Okay, as it stands now, I have it in three.
Right.
Just stick it all in one and make me very happy. I want to play my games. I want to watch my TV, watch my movies, whatever. One thing.
There you heard it right from Nicole's mouth. Stick it all in one and make it.
Shut up.
All right.
What would you call it?
The next rumor, and this is where things, I think, really kind of kick off. And these next two rumors are, it seems like, really pretty much confirmed. Xbox Slim... happening at E3, it's going to be 40% smaller than the current Xbox, and it'll be capable of doing 4K media output. Now, I think the current Xbox can do 4K media output. I just don't think we're going to be seeing games in 4K from this console or the PS4. That's why they're doing these new kind of upgrade consoles. So Xbox Slim, anybody excited for this?
Nope.
40% smaller? No. No, kind of have my box now. I don't feel like I need to put it in.
I got my box too.
So then there was this that came out, which is in 2017, there's going to be a new Xbox that will basically be four times more powerful than the current Xbox One. It's going to potentially be VR enabled, and it is going to be based... basically on new architecture, but everything we know about what Microsoft's been talking about, we know it will have some kind of forward-backward compatibility with the current Xbox One. So that's an interesting one, and the rumors are that they're going to be talking about this supposedly at E3, or potentially a hardware-specific event just after E3. Does this excite anybody?
I don't know how I feel about both this and the PS4 Neo, to be honest.
Right.
As long as all games released work on both, then I can't see it being a problem. And if it'd be just like having a more powerful PC. You can just go in the options and select ultra-high graphics. If that's the only difference between the two, then I'm happy with that. And there'll be no rush to go out and buy one. But if they're forcing you to get another console after such a short cycle...
I will be pissed.
Now,
because it took forever for me to get the one I have.
Right. Agreed. Now, if it's a case of they're not necessarily forcing you to get the new console, but what if this new version allows you to play PC games on it as well?
I don't give a rat's ass.
Okay.
I'm sorry. Right. I'm being brutally honest here. If I have played PC games, I rarely play them. I do have a few. I prefer the console. I just do.
Pilch, any thoughts on this?
Well, as long as you can take your external hard drive out and shove it in the new one, because I'm not downloading 5 gig of games again to put it on the new box. If everything works, if you literally sign in, bang, with your account and every game you've got, but you can play better games, then I'd probably go for it. Not straight away. I'd give it 6 months or so, wait till they drop the price a little bit, and then go for it. I mean, it'll be, 4 years?
Right.
A bit more than 4 years, nearly five by then, if you wait another 6 or 7 months. So it's 5 years for a new console isn't that. It's quite a time, really, isn't it? We won't go back to the 10 years of 360.
Yeah, I don't think we see another cycle like we saw the last gen, but
I can't see it being four times more powerful, though. They couldn't manage it 2 years ago. How come they suddenly got all this power 3 years later?
Well, I think part of it is that you're assuredly not going to be seeing Kinect put into the box from the get-go. So they have a lot more money to spend, if you will, internally on the hardware and still being able to be a little bit of a loss leader on it. Do you think that the Kinect hardware, and they priced it out at, what, $150, but I figure in the bio, like the internal costs of it, it probably was like $50 on that cost sheet, parts and everything in terms of internal cost to Microsoft to include that piece of hardware in the box. And if you think about that and you start to think about, you know, the costs of what they get and buy parts for, $50 is a lot for a computer, for, you know, a manufacturer to be able to say suddenly I have $50 more budget to do something with it. It's going to be interesting to see. I don't know how to feel about it. The last rumor, which kind of makes me wonder, and this is why I went with the PC game side of things, which was that the Xbox interface is being worked on for PC to give basically a fully shared ecosystem. So I think that we're going to, and I do believe we're going to see Microsoft creating, in a sense, kind of a Windows 10 Xbox. It's just all one ecosystem. And any games moving forward from E3, I can't imagine, especially from Microsoft, it's not going to be compatible with Windows 10. Mm. So I think they'll launch everything out on Windows 10 moving forward. So it'll basically be kind of on that, it was the Universal Windows platform, the UWP, which basically you build a game out, it's on that platform. That platform can basically go on to any Windows 10 machine.
They don't have a right good track record, though, do they? Just look at Quantum Break. It's broken on the PC.
Well, but I don't know that was actually a Universal Windows platform game. I don't know that it was under UWP. I think that actually was just they ported that over. I don't know. I don't know if this is going to be successful or not. But, I mean, it's an interesting concept.
Oh, yeah.
And I love the notion of, hey, I buy one game and I can play it on my PC, on my Xbox One, on my Surface, if I had one. That creates a pretty powerful statement. And yeah, it's still not going to, from a PC crowd standpoint, I think PC gamers are still, you still have access to Steam. You still can, use Steam. You can do that on Windows 10 now. So I who knows where these rumors go, but it is made for an exciting E3. Just when we thought E3 was going to be pretty boring.
No, we say it every year, don't we? But yeah, I think this is going to be a really good E3.
Yeah, it is. I think it's shaping up to be a fantastic E3. All right, let us dive into some closing stuff here. Well, we've got victories achieved, which we now know we need to include, Simon. I suppose, Mark, maybe we walk through victories achieved.
Yep. Victory Achieved is a quarterly contest we run where you finish a game, and what you do is when the titles are rolling in the background, the credits are rolling in the background, you take a selfie of yourself with the credits in the background to prove that you finished it, and then tweet that to @g4t.com. You have to spell the dot, so it's g4tedotcom. And then our lovely Bongo the same will retweet that and put you into the list of people. And then end of every quarter, we'll draw one person out of a hat to win $20 or £15 for their space books of choice, whether it be PSN, Xbox Live or Steam. The current competition will end the end of June, so you've got just over a month left to get your entries in. And the people who've done victories achieved this week are Pixel Theatre, finished Uncharted 4, some bald guy called Marcanix finished Rise, Son of Rome, and he said it was horrible. Batch Gaming finished Doom.
All right, I'm sorry. Who's snoring?
It's Jenny. I keep trying to mute. She's fallen asleep. She's laid funny. Okay, so yeah. She's snoring.
Yeah, I didn't want to say anything either. It was one of those things where it's like, what are you going to do?
I can't handle it anymore.
If you saw me looking around earlier, I'm looking for something to pick up and throw at her. But, yeah, so moving on, ignoring the snoring. Did I say batch gaming?
You did not say batch gaming yet.
Batch gaming finished Doom. Caliburn M finished Bloodborne. Real Kahuna finished the Division story. Caliburn M also finished Uncharted 4. And he also finished Hyrule Warriors. So he must have a Wii U as well. I think it's a
I don't know if you should be proud about that. Hyrule Warriors. I don't think you should be proud about that.
Companion Cube finished You Must Build a Boat. Is that a game?
I think either Bongo or Mr. Webster was talking about You Must Build a Boat.
Right, okay.
Or I could be also confusing the Canadian because he also plays quirky games like that. Yeah. Anyway.
Jay Barones finished Journey. Fever La Pedros finished The Wolf Among Us. And Ginge Ninja finished Gears of War 1. Oh, and Simon
Kempster.
He finished. What did he finish? I've forgotten.
He finished.
You're having to read it. Look,
I'm jumping in to read it real quickly because I forgot the crew. How could we forget the crew?
He finished the crew. So that's the victory achievers this week.
Yes.
And I'm going to now find something to throw at my wife.
I'll just put a pillow over her face and hold tightly.
Jenny's going to come kick your ass.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. So real quickly, I think Mark was alluding to the completion chart. So Bongo is doing this thing for charity, which basically for every victory achieved that's happening, depending on the type of game, if it's 4 hours or more, you're going to get a full point. If it's less than that, you'll get a half point. And basically you start racking up points, and he's got a little bit of a prize package for the person that gets the most points for Extra Life. And of course, what he's doing is for every point, he's going to match it with a US dollar, and then he's going to basically donate that money into Extra Life. So right now we're sitting at $172.50 for the kids. So it's fantastic charity. So far, 42 people have completed games and added to this. And looks like he is welcoming Batch Gaming, Jay Brones, and Viva La Pedros to the charts. Viva La Pedros.
Yeah, he put video. Yeah, I've just amended up.
Yes.
You may need to make it 3 and add Simon in there.
Absolutely. Simon will be in there as well. So, yes, it's great to see us costing the Irishman more and more money. All right. If you want to be part of the conversation on the Overseas Connection, there's a lot of ways you can do this. You can jump onto Twitch right around 3 o'clock Pacific on Saturday or 11 p.m. on Saturday night in the UK, in which case you might fall asleep like somebody we know. just type in into your browser, super easy, live.g4te.com. Go visit our Twitch page. You can check us out live. Be part of the chat. Maybe give some final shout-outs on the chat, Nicole?
Gigi showed up. She's feeling better.
Good. Good to hear that.
Yes. We still had, let me look back here, Prontos. I'm just trying to do extras that we didn't have. Fraser had showed up.
You don't need to talk about him.
Okay, I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Don't do it again.
Don't do it again.
I promise. I think that was the extras. My screen just went crazy.
All right. Crazy screens for the win. You can also catch us on iTunes or Stitcher, or I think even Google Play now has us. So download the podcast. And, of course, we do it every week. We're pretty consistent about that. Every once in a while, we'll like take Christmas off. But outside of that, we talk a lot. We also have an email like Simon Kempster found. And you can email the podcast. We will read your emails. We promise. podcast@g4te.com. That is the email. You can tweet us. And that would be @OC_podcast. And we carry on lots of conversations over the course of the week. In fact, this past week, we were talking about the new console rumors and who was on board, who wasn't on board. There was some good banter going back and forth. If you like Facebook, some of you out there know of this thing. It's new. All the kids love it. FP.G4TE.com. That is our Facebook group. Go check it out. Lots of conversations happening there. And I think at this point we can do some shout-outs. So, Simon, thank you so much for writing into the show. I'm starting the shout-outs, by the way, just in case you didn't know this. Big shout-out to you. And then, of course, Pilch Reed, a big shout-out to you for joining the podcast today. Thank you so much for making time to come in and be part of the podcast.
It's been— Thank you. Thanks for having me. It's been great fun.
No, absolutely. And Mark and Nicole, of course, as always, thank you for being part. Mark, I'm unthinking you now, though, because of the soundboard. And I want to thank our audience. Last one.
Oh, my God,
Mark. It was a little wet.
We forgot this as well, didn't we, Greg?
You all have a victory's achieved. Victory's achieved. You have one. Victory's achieved. That never gets old. Yeah. Anyway, a shout out to our listeners. A shout out to our listeners because absolutely they make all of this just that much more fun. And of course, we don't do it just to talk to ourselves. We really do like the interaction with the community. I think at this point I'm going to speed pass this around, starting with Nicole. We'll let Pilch get in last word and then we'll close things out. So Nicole, you start it up and pass it down.
Oh, and that's definitely down because it's got to go to Mark. No. Thanks to y'all for being here tonight and doing this. And I do think I did forget Dez on the little list of people. So sorry, Dez.
Don't forget Dez.
I know. I'm sorry. I do want to thank Mark for our intro tonight, other than the fact that my little voice is in there. That was really good. To Simon also for the email. To our shatters and to our listeners, to the nameless puppy who was chewing on my toes most of the show, and last but not least to JD. So, Mark, it's on you.
I want to shout out Hodor. Those who watch Game of Thrones know exactly what I mean. Hodor.
Hodor.
I want to shout out Step J because he's reviewed Uncharted 4. On True School Games podcast without actually playing the game. He's followed it on Twitch by watching someone else play the game, and he found it not as interesting as what I think you'd find it if he actually played the game. So, yes, shout out to Step J, because that is a first, is that, and quite a unique way of reviewing a game, so that was good. That. And to Pilch for joining us tonight, and talking of Pilch, over to you for your shout-outs.
Right. Just thank you guys for having me on. If you're ever scraping that barrel again and you get to the bottom and see me in there, give me a buzz and I'll be happy to come on. Just anyone who's followed me on Twitter, have a good laugh on there. It keeps me entertained during the day. A few podcasts to listen to, the Boss Wave Boys, obviously, with Nat. He's one of my favourites on the old Twitter there. That's about it, I think.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, thank you for mentioning the competition. I appreciate that. No, I'm kidding. No, Pilch, it's been an absolute pleasure. I think the only thing I have left to say, and this is for Kim, this is for Steve Conger, a little bit of Nicole as well. Go Sharks, baby. Go Sharks.
Fuck the Sharks.
Oh, yeah. Stanley Cup, here we come.
I'm going to actually be a Penguin fan.
That assures the Sharks are going to win. Giggity, giggity. Mark, play that music.
Have I got one ready? I have, and it's Uncharted.
Yeah.
It's Uncharted.
Oh.
Bye, everybody.
Oh, sure. Now you answer.
Sorry, yeah. I was just moving the car. Putting the car away.
Moving the car?
Yeah. I just come in. I just saw the thing on the dash.
Jeez Louise.
It's only 22.
The unacceptable answer. Unacceptable answer.
At least you're early this week. Not like Bongo. I started texting everyone. I was panicking last week. What do you honestly think of that intro then?
Mark, I'm going to be very honest with you right now. Don't take this the wrong way. I haven't listened to it.
All right.
I have faith in you. All right. You want to do some outtake stuff?
Yeah.
All right.
We need some outtakes, though. I don't know why, but it's only just started recording. It's supposed to auto-record, so I've missed Nicole's nipple gag.
This is going to be a good show.
No, it's not. One of these days.
One of these days.
Hold on.
Hodor.
There we go. Now it's not on my head. I hate that thing on my head.
It's a headset. It's supposed to be on your head.
And I completely understand that. This particular one is really oddly uncomfortable.
Well, do you not have a ponytail in right now?
No.
No? Turn around.
That's not a ponytail. There's no horse's ass.
All right, well, there's a little...
It's a clip.
Okay. I'm wearing this just for Kim. I'm not a fan of yippy dogs, for the record. Don't say anything to Nicole about that.
You can quit talking bad about me.
How'd you know?
Because I could hear it.
You can take the pillow off Jenny's face now.
I should have shouted out to Jenny. I should have shouted out to Jenny.
Yeah.
It slowly got louder and louder. I'm thinking.
Oh, she had some really good.
And I can see the input light on the call recorder going up and higher and higher.
All right, we're done. If you like this podcast, there is another site you should check out, which is called VGHub.net. And on there, you find a bunch of links to other video game podcasts, similar in vein to ours, but different in the way they're delivered. Some have all kinds of sound effects.
Wheels are for old people.
Some talk about RPGs.
Too many, some people say.
Come on, yeah.
Some might say that.
No one says that.
And of course, you have links to, you know, great forums.
You don't have any other friends.
So check it out, vghub.net. It is a great starting point for your podcast discovery.